Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we are joined by one of the iconic race directors, runner, timer, you name it. This dude does everything, and I've met him a couple times at different races, and I've always thought, man, I'd love to get this guy on. And so we finally hooked up, and we're going to bring on Mr. Dan Polskamp. Dan, you ready to go for a little run?
Let's do it.
All right, man. So how far should we run tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I'll probably bring you down. So whatever we need.
All right, let's go 200 miles then. We'll just, start with something short.
So warm up. Sounds
good.
There you go.
There you go. So Dan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Family, all that good stuff.
So Dan Polskamp, live in suburbs of Richmond, Virginia. I got a wife and two kids. We've been married 15 and a half years, a 10 and a 4-year-old son. And having the kids has helped drive some things we've done with the races here. And I can go into that down the line. But
definitely.
But it's not unusual to have the wife and kids out, like a lot of ultras, especially ones that have been around a while. You see the whole family out there. It's not unusual to see my kids out there pulling a lemonade stand to raise money for something, or my wife cooking something homemade or things like that. So I've been lucky that when I had this crazy idea to direct races almost 11 years ago, that she's been supportive of it. Maybe called me crazy at times, but she's been supportive of it.
That is awesome. So now your background, you're a teacher by profession, right?
Yeah, so I'm one of those weirdos that went to college thinking that I knew what I wanted to do. And lo and behold, it was what I wanted to do. So I went to college to be a special education teacher. And I'm in year 24-ish of special education. I'm the special education coordinator, lead teacher at Colonial Heights High School. I do a lot of the transition for our students with severe needs that are graduating, lots and lots of meetings. So I do that. And then my second week of teaching, 9/11 happened. So I went and enlisted in the Army Reserves and then did 22 and a half years in the Reserves and just retired from the Army last year. So I'm down to two jobs now. There's
wow,
the main job of teaching.
Congratulations. 22 and a half years Army Reserve.
Yep.
Can thank you for serving. That's awesome. I did not know that about you.
Yeah, and that's kind of helped, drive some of the things that, again, that I do as a race director. I know you've run or volunteered Swami Shuffle, veterans causes, veterans needs, veterans suicide. Those are all things near and dear to my heart. No, no matter how bad you think those numbers are, they're worse. And so anything I can do as a race director, I jokingly call myself a talent scout. A lot of times I'm on the lookout at the races for the guys that, maybe they're not so much running towards a goal, but running from something and try and help them out a little bit if I can.
That is awesome. Now, do you still do the camp? Is it the, I forget the name of the camp you do for veterans?
Yeah, so I got involved, and that's kind of what we were just talking about. So I was timing, this would have been, I think, 2022. I was timing Black Mountain Monster, great 24-hour race down in Asheville, North Carolina. And there was this guy, he was crewing for a 6-hour runner, and he kept coming over and talking to me. So before I had the beard. And so, of course, I got, short, balding hair and maybe military mannerisms. And finally, he goes, "Hey, man, are you military?" "Well, yeah." And he said, "Well, I do. I'm with the Band of Runners. So, we do these trail camps. We do them once a year in November. You should come out and check it out." And of course, the first thing I'm like, I'm good. I'm well-adjusted veteran. I'm good, man. I don't need to do that. And I kind of thought about it. And then I applied, of course, doing things, as ultra runners do. We or register for something and then ask permission later. So I think I applied for the camp. And then my wife, I was like, "Hey, honey, in a couple months, I'm going to go out to Texas for 4 days for this veterans camp," thinking that, it would just be something fun to do. But it was tremendously meaningful. The first year I did it, they put me in the advanced group, which speed wise, I am not an advanced runner, but experience wise, I am. But the cool thing about that was the small group leader for that particular group was Pam Prophet Smith, who's of course, the
Oh
coach
my
of the
gosh.
U.S. women's 24-hour team. And, you know, a lot of what I do is like fixed time races. So, like, I'm looking at it going, man, the chance to pick her mind for 4 days is worth it. So I did that as a camper for 1 year. And then the last 2 years, I've gone back as a mentor or small group leader, working with the people that have never been out on trails or the run walkers, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's incredibly meaningful because it gets veterans outdoors and hopefully helps them build some healthy habits that can replace the bottle, the other things that many of us go towards.
Yeah, that
So.
is so awesome. I love that you're volunteering there now as a mentor, because I think you just got so many valuable things to add to that community. Yeah, bravo to you, man.
Yeah, and that's for any of your listeners. If they want information on Band of Runners, camp is in November. It's always Veterans Day weekend. We do it in Texas. It's going to be Austin, Texas this year. We do it at no cost to the runner. And if there is a financial need for the runner to get out there, we take care of it. So,
Awesome.
you know, if there's people listening that are like, hey, I need this, or I got family members that need it, reach out to you and you can put them in touch with me
You
and
got it.
follow on
We'll
it.
link to Band of
Yeah.
Brothers in the podcast.
So funny story is, you know, my son at my fixed time races, my son, we wanted to raise money for it. And I used to, well, I've done it a couple years, the Notch View Ultra, great kind of fat ass style race up in Western Massachusetts, where they have Wally the Watermelon. And you can carry it, and for every loop that you carry it, the race director donates something to like the animal shelter. Of course, carrying a watermelon in the middle of summer sucks. It's slippery and
Yeah.
all that. So my son had the idea of, he got a camouflage bear. So anytime we have our fixed time races, I slap a bib on, this is Forrest, and then runners are able to carry him. And for every mile, then we make a donation back to Band of Runners. Last week at
Oh, that
Dogwood,
is awesome.
So last week at Dogwood, he did 87 miles. I was hoping he'd get to 100 and I could give him a buckle. He came up just a little bit
A
short,
little
you
short, man. All
know.
right.
So some training in the off season, just like all of us, right? And maybe we can get there next year.
All right. I've got to get up and do Dogwood, man. That's one of the races that I'm like, it's a month after Swami, and usually I'm just destroyed. This year, is more flu and trying to get back in shape. But yeah, that Dogwood is one of those ones that is like on my highlight. I think I'm just gonna have to do it and just suffer through it.
It's a weird, so we just hit year 10, so I'm super excited. It was my original race, so we just did our 10th one last year. But it's such an unusual fixed time race because, you know, you're used to, I mean, you've run 6 days in the dome, things like that. You know, the first thing that comes to people's mind when you think of fixed time is flat. Dogwood's a lot of things, but it ain't flat.
I was just gonna say, there's nothing
So
flat about it,
there's
because
nothing flat about it. For to hit 100 miles, and this was part of the reason why we went from 24 to 36, then to 48, was if you're going to hit 100 miles, you're looking at almost 14,000 feet of climbing. So for most people, that's a pretty hefty ask. And it's a great race, but like a 48-hour option has been great for runners. I get to give out a lot more buckles than I
that's
ever
awesome.
did as at a 24 or 36.
Well, let's pivot a little, because one of the things that I discovered when I was doing a little research on you is Dan Pulskamp is one heck of an ultra runner, man. You have done a ton of races, dude. So how did you get into ultra running? Where did that come from? Have you always been a runner or what?
No, I ran my, someone conned me into doing the Ucrops 10K back in like 2010, which for anyone from Richmond or the area knows Ucrops, you know, you run it with 30,000 of your best friends on a road, which I'm not going to say it was miserable, but I won't be running that again. It's just too many people. I don't mind road. It's just, I can't run with that many people. So did that. Then I did the Richmond Marathon. Of course, like most people, you swear off marathons because you spend a week walking like a 75-year-old man. And then someone was like, oh, you should try a trail run. So trail marathon turned into a 50K in West Virginia, turned into a 40-miler in North Carolina, turned into a 50-miler here in Virginia, then 100K in Virginia. And then I'm looking, going, man, I got nothing left to try, but might as well go for a buckle. And so then I did for the runners that know Blackbeard's Revenge, there was a race prior to that in the Outer Banks, this, oh, I think virtually the same course, maybe just different aid stations, called the Graveyard 100 that was operated by Brandon Wilson. And so I went down in 2013 and did the 100 there, made every rookie mistake you could make, probably PR'd my 100K and couldn't run anymore by 65 miles. That's how quick the
Yep.
pants came off. And then it was just the death march to the finish. So like you name it, and I screwed it up, but somehow got through it. Took about 5 years off from doing hundreds, just did a bunch of local stuff around the area as we started the running business and my son was born. And then 2019 started doing some 48 hours and some stuff like that. And so probably a lot more of a power hiker. I run very little. Like my last 72-hour race that I did, I walked the entire thing. But you
Awesome.
just learn
Yep.
how to be efficient.
Yeah. And now you've done, how many times have you done Knoxville? Because that one's kind of on my radar also.
I've done it twice. I'm signed up to go back again this year as if I'm healthy, which right now I'm not, which would be a bummer. I'm also supposed to go out to Colorado and do some in the summer. But I've done Knoxville twice. Ben Griffin's the race director up there. They do most of their stuff goes to charity. It's like a cross country ski course, so it's 2 miles. So there's some climbing. Again, you're looking at like 13,000 feet of climbing in 2 miles. It's a 2 mile loop, but it's a beautiful course. The people have always been great. The only drawback to it is living south of DC and New York is driving up through both of those two places is
Right,
miserable.
right.
But
What's the weather
other
like
than that,
up there in the summer?
up in July, the first year I did it, like the overnights were like upper 40s. So, throw on a long sleeve shirt and
Oh,
rock
cool.
and roll. The second year I did it, it was like carnage because it was a couple of things. It was hot and it was fine for me because I was walking at the start. A lot of people, went out running too fast and of course blew up because of the sneaky humidity. But then that was the year, I want to say it was 2023, that the Vermont 100 got flooded out. Well,
Oh, wow.
Notch View is always like a week or two before that. So that rain that flooded Vermont out actually came in the last day at Notch View. And I had already finished 100 and I was off the course. But if you look at the pictures and videos of folks from that, it was just it was gnarly. It was
Wow. So, of all the ultras that you've run, what's your favorite one?
So he's like asking someone to pick a favorite kid.
Yeah.
Honestly, I gotta say, my favorite was Salt Flats 100.
Really?
Just because, I run on the East Coast, so of course, what do we have on the East Coast? We got single track and we got trees,
Yep.
and you go out there, it's on the Bonneville Salt Flats, and then the little like rocky islands that
Yeah.
populate the flats. I think I saw one tree for 100 miles.
Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
it just the landscape is so different from what we got on the East Coast. It's just it was beautiful. I almost DNF'd it. I may had some horrible luck with it was super hot. And then I learned that you can get sunburned on your quads and the back of your calves because I didn't put sunscreen on those two areas in
Oh.
the morning. And I mean, it hurt bad. And so again, made some mistakes. I wasn't thinking about, like anticipating that much sun exposure, almost ruined my day. And literally after about 13 hours, I was almost 50 miles in and the sun starts going down. And I was able to get a cell phone reception at an aid station, call my wife. I was like, well, I should probably drop, but the sun's going down. I'm just going to walk to the next aid station and see what happens. And, with ultras, 50 miles turned into 57, turned into 63, turned
Oh.
into 70. And eventually you just look at it and you go, okay, the math and the time's in my favor. I'm going to make this happen.
There you go.
It was beautiful. The people were great. It's run by a husband and wife team. It's just a beautiful, any of your runners or listeners that are like military that were ever in, Afghanistan. It's like high country desert, so it's
Wow.
really beautiful, but just very different from anything you can get on the East Coast. So I guess that'd probably be my favorite or most noteworthy.
That is awesome. Cool.
And I guess I should say too, that's one of those things. It shows just the power of ultras and the ultra community. The first 10 miles, I played hopscotch with a guy who was running his first 100. I'd run a few by then, but he was local-ish. He was like 4 hours away, and they had a camper van, and it was his wife and like her sister that were crewing. And so I ended up doing like 30 miles at the beginning with them. Then I didn't see him again for like 45 miles. They went way ahead of me, and then they bonked hard. But then I ran into the wife and the sister at one of the aid stations. They're like, "Hey, we remember you from early on." And they just kind of adopted me, for the last
Oh,
20
cool.
miles, because I was running it solo, had no crew, using drop bags, just doing all the things. But again, it just people take care of other people out there, and they took care of me. So anytime you get to a race, I try and do that back for other folks too.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things. That's how I fell in love with the whole ultra community was, just the first race I ran was in 2014. And it was probably one of the hardest things I'd done in my life. And but it was just I had never been around such encouraging people that were cheering you on. And I remember coming into the finish line and this dude just, I mean, clapping his, just going wild with excitement and comes up and gives me a big old hug at the end and everything. And I find out he's the winner who finished like 6 hours before me in this 50K. And he's out there congratulating those of us who are struggling in at the back of the pack. And I was like, okay, I've never seen that. I'd only been running for about 4 years at that point, but it was all short races and marathons. And I'd never seen the winner of the race stay to the end of the race and just want to make sure that he's there for, the last person finishing. And that just hooked me. I was hooked from there on. I was like, this community rocks. So it was cool.
Exactly. I have one more story on that because it's a perfect segue. Is last year I went out and did the Flat Top Mesa 100. Anyways, super small race, great race director. Ended up being 300 mile finishers. I was one of them. And most people probably know Ed Edringhausen, who's got the world record for most 100 mile finishes. I mean, the man ran a 100 miler every weekend for a year straight. And he had done a 100 the day before Flat Top. And then he came out there thinking, well, I'll just do another 100. That way I got 200 mile finishers this weekend. Well, the weather was kind of crappy, and the terrain was a little yucky and rocky. And so he wasn't going to get to 100, but I'm getting ready to go out on my last 8 mile loop to finish 100. And he shows up and he goes, "Hey man, you want a pacer?" I was like, "Well, Tiger Woods doesn't show up on the golf course and say, 'Hey man, you want to play, hit some balls.' But here I am, like getting ready to go out and get paced by this guy, just luckily for 8 miles. I hadn't talked to anyone in like 5 hours. There were so few people out on the course. I'm like, heck yeah, I just want to talk to someone that's not a tree or a cactus. Come on, bring it." And so, nicest guy in the world. We spent the last 8 miles, I would say pacing me, mostly pushing and me cursing and howling at the wind. But like those are the things that the community brings and offers.
I love the jester. I met him first time at 6 days and then again at across the years, and I was just like, what and I mean, he's a legend, but what I mean, he's just such a nice guy. Amazing. All right, well, let's jump into your race company. So kind of tell us a little bit about how it came about. Where did the idea come from? Tell us what the name of the company is, and then we'll jump into some of your races.
So I had been running ultras for probably 3. Again, this is one of those things where I gotta say how much I lo love and appreciate my wife. I've been running ultras for about 3 years. Of course, I'm teaching. I've got a job in the army, and I come up with this idea because anytime I would run an ultra, I'm driving 3 or 4 hours. Like I'm either going to Francesca Conti and doing like Belmonte or UROC, or I'm driving down to North Carolina to, at the time, Brandon Wilson and Race NC, or even like the Mangum Track Club. So like everywhere I'm going, I'm driving. And I'm like, man, you know, Central Virginia's got great trails. So I reached out to Brandon Wilson because I had run a bunch of his races. And I said, hey, I will buy you all the barbecue and beer that you can eat if you will sit down with me and show me the behind the scenes stuff. Like, don't show me cool shirts, you know, like talk to me logistics. And that was my background for a while in the Army. So I guess I knew to ask that question, but it was like, talk to me about how you plan the behind the scenes stuff. And so he mentored me my first probably 2 or 3 years. You know, he would talk to me. We'd talk after races. He'd help me set up my risk management plan and stuff like that. And so, of course, my first race was Dogwood, and it was 2015. And I always call it a beautiful failure. Everything went perfectly, except no one showed up. I had 12
Oh
runners,
my gosh.
six of them were comped entries that I gave to friends. Because no one knew me, you know, what's this Virginia Adventures company? What's going on here? So no one showed up, and
Wow.
so we kind of lived life. It went well enough that I added another race on at the end of the year, which was my 8-hour race, Piedmont, in a different park. But it went like that for a couple of years. You know, we never had big numbers, 20, 30 runners at a race, and then I want to say it was 2000. Probably the end of 2016, I had this idea and I said, I want to put a race on High Bridge Trail. High Bridge Trail is a state park. It was somewhat new at the time. It's in Farmville. It's 31 miles long. Of course, do the math, 31 miles. You're like, boom, 50K, baby. Yeah. Only problem is someone beat me to it. So
No.
someone already had, they were great, great group. It was Trail Adventures. Steve England and his crew, the ones that did Eastern Divide. And they beat me to it by like 6 months, and they had a 50K in the day in October out there. And so I'm like, man, I can't, you know, you don't want to, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to step on anyone else's toes, but I want to use this course. Like, it's such a good course. What can I do? And I came up with the idea. I was like, well, what about a night race? And let's do it in the summer because no one's dumb enough to run night races in the summer in the South, right? And so, of course, I threw the permit in, and I don't even think that the park manager believed me at first. Like, he called all the other parks I'd worked with and was like, is this guy legitimate? Can we trust him? Anyways, you know, he took a flyer on us and said, hey, let's do it. And first year we did it, I had 150K runners, just 50K. I only offered the 50K that year. And so that would have been 2017. That was kind of my finally realization that, like, hey, I'm doing something and it's working. And so really ever since then, Night Train has always been my most well-known race. It's a summer Southern 50K at night. And I mean, last year it was 100 degrees and we had 350 runners. So
Oh my God, I didn't realize it'd gotten that big.
we've been hovering between 250 to 300 for the previous couple years. You know, honestly, we came out of COVID doing pretty good. But last year we were at 350. Will we get to that this year? Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe so. But that's just become our signature race. And then I put Freight Train on in December, which is a 100K companion race to that. So Night Train's really kind of the one that kept the lights on. You know, the other races were going okay, but that's the one that kind of made the name for myself. And it was actually kind of cool. I was out at I ran Jackpot last month, running through the timing table. It was at night. I didn't see my name pop up on the screen, and I'm real obsessed about that. Like, if I'm going to do laps, like, I want to know that everyone who counted.
Right.
And so I go to the timer and I'm like, hey, ma'am, you know, can I get a lap check? I just want to make sure that it registered. Like, I heard the beep, but I didn't see my name on the screen. I hate to be that guy because, you know,
Right,
it's
right.
that guy at a race, but I was like, I want to be that guy. I want to make sure I got counted. She pulls me up. She goes, damn, Pulse Camp, you're a race director out east, aren't you? Is this Night Train something? And so it was one of the Aravaipa folks that had, you know, it had come out and run Night Train. So again, it's
Oh my
like,
gosh,
you
that's
know,
crazy.
the ultra world's small. And I guess too, if you have a weird last name like I do, you know, people are going to recognize you. But yeah, so Night Train's kind of what has done it. And the thing I love about it is how much really the community's gotten behind it. The town of Farmville has become very supportive. We get like a local pottery place that does most of our awards. They do them handmade. We're able to farm a bunch of money back to the friends group that does the maintenance, plus the food pantry there. You know, we've been able to give substantial amounts of money over the years to them. So, you know,
That's
it's
awesome.
become a good event between us and the community, I think.
So then is Highbridge Challenge, is that before Night Train, right?
No, so Highbridge Challenge, I tied the two races together and said if you do both of them in the same calendar year, we'll call it a challenge. So it's like a series.
Okay,
You
so
have to,
if you run both of them,
yeah.
okay. So
No,
it's not a
yeah.
separate race. Okay.
No, so you can choose. I've got a 5K, a half marathon, and 50K at Night Train, and then a half marathon, 50K, 100K at Freight Train. So you can choose a couple of distances. You can choose a marathon, so like two half marathons, one at each race. You can choose a 100K, so a 50 at each race, or you can do 150K, so the 50 in the summer and 100 in December. It's a, you know, it's a little harder than people realize. Of course, my DNF rate for Night Train is a little higher than your average 50K just because of the heat. It tends to smack people a little harder than they think it's going to for it being a night race.
But your 50K night train, your cutoff is very generous on that.
Yeah, I give 9.5 hours, and I've even worked with a couple people beyond that. But it's also, it's not, I'm a firm believer in Horton miles. Are you familiar with
Oh, yeah.
Horton miles? So I mean, I would have to say that none of my races are ever exactly the mileage. So I would say Night Train's probably closer to 32, not 31. So
Okay, those are
there is a
called
little
bonus
extra,
miles.
it's a little extra tacked on for free. I want runners to experience everything. But yeah, it's a generous cutoff. And but that's the mistake that people make. And I think sometimes too, especially a lot of people coming over from roads and seeing the rail trail and the flat aspect, thinking, well, I have to run everything. So they don't mix in any walking or intervals early on. And you know, so then it's just their quads blow up and then it's hot. And now all of a sudden it's just bad cramps and I can't move and I'm miserable. So I'm just going to make it to an aid station and I'm going to call it a day. So I always tell people, you know, mix in some intervals early. If ever there was a race to negative split, it's this one because it is very runnable if you don't blow up early on. So
Right. And what time does that start at night?
it's we actually moved it back. Normally it was a 5:30. I always live life on the edge in terms of like the later you start the race, of course, the cooler it is, but the harder it is to find volunteers.
Yes.
So last year we moved it back to a 6 o'clock start, which means then it's like a 3:30 a.m. finish. So
Okay.
of course, finding the zombie shift volunteers can be a challenge at times. Of course, the race director then is extra snarky and, you know, but it's still a cool thing because runners come over the bridge at night, which normally the park is closed during the night. So you get to see the moon, the fireflies. Like the park does a firefly festival a different week in June. And it's probably not an exaggeration to say you can stand on the bridge and see thousands of fireflies. So
Serious. Wow.
when you're coming over the bridge and it's about 3/10 of a mile from the finish. So like you can kind of see the finish line, like the red clock light off in the distance, and then you're coming over the bridge and you see all the fireflies. It's a pretty cool, iconic finish, if I do say so myself. Maybe a
Awesome.
little biased on that. That's our newest race. That park is beautiful. James River State Park. It's a international dark sky park. So like the runners that are doing the 50 miler for that, they're normally treated to pretty amazing stars, like the stargazing as you're out on the course. It's all runnable. You know, it's not, there's a couple of technical sections, but it's not super technical, but it's
Yeah.
still challenging. It's part of the Virginia State Parks Adventure Series that encourages runners to get out into different parks or athletes because there's bike
Yep.
events and other stuff too. But,
Well, the other thing with the James River State Park is, man, there's plenty of camping. So I
yeah.
was taking pictures and sent them to my wife, and she's like, "Well, let's just pack up the van and tailgate, and we'll go camp for the weekend." So now
Right.
the Piedmont 8 hour, where is that one?
So that's I've got two events now. They're both out at Powhatan State Park. Piedmont was the second race I did. I've always kind of kept it kind of small. I like about 50 to 70 runners, a short runnable loop. It just lets me interact with the runners a lot, and it's a non-technical loop. So it's a great intro to trail running. Of course, the fall leaves. So we do that one. And then 3 weeks earlier, the park had asked us to do this was a couple of years ago, a race for their 10th anniversary, because we've been putting on events in that park almost since they opened.
Wow.
And so now it's morphed into a 10-mile race that happens during the pawpaw festival, which the pawpaw is Virginia's only native edible fruit. So the park
Really?
does a little
Okay.
festival for that with like live music and stuff like that. And the 10-mile race kicks it off. So I got two races out at Powhatan, but
So then the Wills River Fat Ass. I love fat ass races. See, this just when I saw that, I was like, Dan is a man after my own heart. So tell us a little bit about your Wills River fat ass, because I don't even know where Wills River is.
So Willis River, if you came down 60, you went right by it. It's in Bear Creek State Park and
Okay.
Cumberland State Forest. It's the only one of the seven races I direct that I did not create. I actually inherited it from the Richmond Roadrunners, who didn't want to put it on anymore out
Okay.
there. And this was the year I was doing night train for the first time. So I'm there volunteering, and the race director at the time says, "Hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. Anyone want to do it?" And I just raised my hand and said, "I'll take it." And so I've taken it since. If the Barclays are the race that eats its young, Willis River is not far behind.
Okay.
It is a gnarly course. It is hard, and
Really?
hard in ways that most people don't anticipate. And I've had this from a bunch of runners. There's probably about 4,000 feet of climbing. It's 32, 33-mile course. But the challenges are that it runs through a state forest that gets virtually zero use. It gets used by hunters, but the trail itself sees almost no use or maintenance. I go out and mark the trail, like I hang flags and all that prior to the race, but it is a race that penalizes heads down running. If you're not keeping your head up, actively looking for where the next blaze is, guaranteed you will get lost. So I would say probably over 50% of the runners end up taking a wrong turn, because they just like they put their head down, they're looking at their footing, they think they're rolling, and then all of a sudden they're not. They're on a different trail or something like that. So the DNF rate is pretty high. That's my one race. I have a mandatory gear requirement for that, just because it's pretty remote, and I've had to go out and find folks
Okay.
At night, and it's not fun because, again, the trail's narrow. It's hard to follow, and there's nothing flat about it, and it's fairly technical. So last year we had a bunch of rain right before the night before, so we had hip deep water crossings too. So it's just,
Wow.
I mean, it eats you up. Your feet are gonna get wet one way or the other. Like, it's too wet of a course. There's water crossings every half mile or mile, and it just depends on how deep. Some of them you can hop across, some of them you're going to get wet. Honestly, some years if it's icy and frozen, it's even better, because then you can actually stay dry. But
Right.
most years it's like a mix of snow and mud and that sort of thing. So, but it's one of those where again, like you said, fat asses are like the essence of the sport. Your experience there is what you're going to make of it. If you want good early season training miles with fellow crazy people, it is your jam. But if you're like, "Man, I need that buffed out, runnable single track course," it's going to humble you. We do it fat ass style. It's like, tell the runners, "I'm going to put out water and I'm going to put out markings and I time it. But the food is up to you guys. So if everyone brings Oreos, we're eating Oreos at every aid station." You get some crazy stuff. Like, people go all out, bring like hummus wraps, like expensive Stroop waffles. And it's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I've had so much fun looking at your races with my wife and going, you know, I don't have to leave the state of Virginia to go hit a bunch of badass races. All your races are 3 to 4 hours from my house in Virginia
Yeah,
Beach.
and we try and do again. I got a 4-year-old and a 10-year-old. This only happens because my family's supportive of it. So it's like, for a lot of my events, we do family stuff. We've thrown up the sheet and done like drive-in movie style stuff, where the kids can watch movies. Piedmont in October, we do pumpkin painting for the kids.
Awesome.
Last year at James River, we did s'mores. sign competition. We try and do stuff for the kids too. For my two fixed time races, this idea called the parent loop. Everyone does a kids run or a fun run, right?
Yeah.
Start at the same time as the race does, or maybe like half hour later, the kids go out and run. Everyone says rah, 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 and then the runners are still running. So Xavier, my son, came up with this idea. He's like, Dad, what if kids or grandparents can run a loop with the runner, but they can do it at any time they want? That was the genesis of the parent loop, is that you sign up for the parent loop. It's like a 5K basically, but you can run it anytime you want. Like, you want to do it at the beginning of the day with your parent, you can do it. You want to do it in the middle of the day when they're bonking, you can do it. So like last weekend, we had a guy and he's like, hey, I'm getting ready. I'm at mile 98. So I'm going out to, this is my buckle loop. I'm going to go out and get over 100 miles. I'm going to take my 6-year-old son. He had signed him up for the parent loop. So we're going to go run this loop together. So they good. And they did, the 3.5 miles together, finished together. And then he had me give his son the buckle. Pretty
Oh
awesome.
man, that's awesome.
Pretty awesome. It's great for mom. It's great for dad. It was great for the kid. Sometimes you'll see multiple generations. Like, you'll see kid, parent, and grandparent all go out on it. So that's been a really cool thing for us to do, to try and involve the families. They get a finisher's award, they get a shirt just like everyone else does, so they feel special. And I time it.
Yeah, so I love that idea because that gives, people who aren't runners, my wife is not a runner, but that gives them an opportunity to be out on the course with the person that they love and think is crazy. So I love that idea. I think that is totally cool.
And I mean, because let's be honest, ultras are a selfish sport. Like, we go out and train. Oh, I got to get a 5-hour run in. Not only do I got to get the 5-hour run in, I got a 2-hour drive to the run and then 2-hour drive home. Honey, I'm not going to be any good with the kids this weekend because I got a, 20-mile training run in the mountain. Like, it's an awesome pastime. And it's fantastic, and it's taken me places. But it is selfish, and it's a time suck on things. So it's, I'm mindful of that, and we got to try and do our best to, again, to build in those things to thank those family members and volunteers that let us do these crazy, insane things that we do.
I love that you're doing that. That is so cool. So now the other part of you that I don't think most people realize is you time a ton of races too, don't you?
Yeah, I started timing more. Honestly, I'd love to time more and direct less because it's easier. I sneak in a couple of naps, like Dogwood last weekend. I think I averaged about 3 hours of sleep each day.
Okay.
And then a big nap when I got home and got the truck unloaded.
Huge nap. Yeah. I was going to say, huge nap when you got home. How many people ran Dogwood this year?
We had 130 some, so that was spread
Wow.
out amongst a few distances. We had 12 folks hit 100 miles, which again, I
Wow.
love.
That's
Love
awesome.
giving out
12
love,
buckles. That's
yep.
perfect.
Love giving out buckles. Last year we had 13. This year we had 12. So again, like, that 48-hour time frame really gives people, let's be honest, for 24 hours and 100 miles for most of us is not
Not
realistic,
achievable.
especially if there's any sort of technicality or elevation involved. So like, I had moved it to a 36 hour, and then I ended up bumping it to a 48 hour. And that's really giving people, it gives the people the flex time to, oh, I'm bonking, I need to take a nap, or I got time to troubleshoot this without feeling rushed. Or even honestly, I've had hikers and they want to do a 50K, but they've never run more than 10 miles. So they come out and they do 15 miles each day. And you know what? That's a big deal for them. Hey, they just did a 50K at a rate, so like, that to me, that 48-hour distance is really a sweet spot of giving people the opportunity to chase a lot of goals. There's not a lot of long multi-day stuff on the East Coast. So that was kind of my thought too when I went to that. And what it's also become is, because of course plenty of people from the East Coast want to go run Cocodona or Badwater and stuff like, but they all need training runs too. So again, like a flat 24, it's not a training run for that, those races. So like something like a Dogwood that is technical and a lot of elevation, but 48 hours really gives a lot of those folks the chance to stack some miles.
I love what you're doing, man. I admire the fact that you just dove in and said, "Hey, let's do this thing a little bit different." I love that your family is involved. I think you're doing a fantastic job, and I can't wait to run more of your races.
I love having new folks come in and experience things too. And
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming out to James River. And well, let's wrap this up. This is the way we like to wrap up all the podcasts. So the name of the podcast, of course, is Living an Ultra Life. So when you hear that phrase, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
I look at it as goals again. It's important for my kids to see even adults having goals. And so to me, living an ultra life is like, what can I find to do better or get better at? Maybe it'll be running in 20 years, maybe it's fishing, but like always trying to have a goal and get better at something.
That's awesome. Well, Dan, man, this has been such a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to seeing you April 12th. Is that when I get to see you? Right?
Yep. I'll be
All
out there
right.
all weekend.
All right, bud. Looking forward to it. Thank you so
Thanks,
much for
Mike.
spending a little time with us, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.